A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Welcome in, H-Town. Fred Davis here. My boy Pauly G is out. I don't even know what he's out with. I know he is cognizant, awake, aware of his surroundings. We did text this morning prior to coming on the show today. So, maybe a mental health day. We know that there's sick days. But remember, Sean Mapes, your mental health is just as important as your physical health. If you take nothing else away from these 2 hours today, remember that.
Yes, and that, I think, makes up for John and Lance earlier today doing a mentally unwell or just weird segment.
Look.
I feel like you starting the show like this is a step in the right direction for us.
Well, look.
As a station.
We're just getting started, okay? we're not even 2 minutes into this thing. Glad to be back. It's been a while. Since your boy's been on airwaves here in Houston, Texas, and it's good to be back. And more importantly, it's good to be back with my man, Sean, Planet of the Mapes. It's been some time. In fact, I think the last time I was on radio was with you, as a matter of fact. Now, granted, we weren't on ESPN 97.5 at the time. We were doing our thing over at SportsMap, me, you, and Mr. Kevin Zipak, who has gone back to his motherland over there in the Shy. I don't know if he's a part of that mayoral race, but I don't think he's in the runoff. I don't know that our boy Zipak.
It'd be a pivot for old Kev.
Look, he's a man of the people, and if there was ever a revolutionary candidate, it would be one Mr. Kevin Zipak. Look, we're glad to be back today. Again, I'm Freddie D. That's my man, Sean, Planet of the Mapes. We've got a big show today. And like I was telling my boy Todd before the show, look, it's better to come back to doing a show in mid to late March than it would be, say, in mid to late June or July, where, look, what are you talking about? Baseball. And, you know, it's what, week whatever in baseball. And we're talking about, you know, pitch counts and there's still 100 games left and nobody cares, versus we've got U of H doing its thing in Kansas City. We're going to be talking to one Mr. Seth Greenberg from ESPN. He's joining the show. He's going to be on at 10:40 talking all things U of H. We're going to talk the tournament. We're also going to get into a little bit about, I saw an excellent article, and I want to get your thoughts on this as well, Sean Mapes. Saw a great article this week. Shout out to my girl Allison for sending this over to me about U of H being a Jordan school. And I said this back in 2018 when it happened. You couldn't ask for a better affiliation, because the one thing we know, and look, I'm not here to get into the Jordan versus LeBron debate. All right. I'm 42 years old, so you guys pretty much know where I stand on that. My son's middle name is Michael, so we'll just leave that as is. And I guess you could probably tell from my shirt. We're doing the Twitch thing too, right?
Yeah, you're on Twitch.
Okay. We're on Twitch. The kids are on Twitch. Hey, we're still doing the Twitch thing. I'll figure this thing out. Like I said, we got 2 hours to figure this whole thing out. It's been a while. I'm a little rusty. You know, by the way, you know, the last time I was on radio, Russia and Ukraine were not at odds, okay? I just want to put that out there, all right? I don't believe in coincidences, okay? I do not believe in coincidences. Just saying, Ukraine
However,
and Russia,
yeah.
Okay? You know, it was like Big Brother, Little Brother. Maybe there were some fights. Maybe this whole Crimean thing was a little bit of a pain in one's neck. But they were still, you know, they were still okay. Now here it is. Fred comes back, goes away from a while. Now, you know, I mean, look, Russia's using 1940s tanks, for Christ's sake. Okay. That's where we're at in this Ukraine-Russia thing. All right. We got 1940s tanks being, I mean, it's like a game of Risk, for crying out loud. Good night. Anyway, if you'd like to get in on this Ukraine, are they taking odds on the Ukraine-Russia war, by the way? Do we know what the over under is? How much longer this thing's going to last?
I'll check DraftKings here in a sec.
Check DraftKings. The afternoon shows are all at Circa, aren't they?
Yes, they
sports
are.
Book.
They are.
Let's see if we can get a Circa live shot on what the odds are for Russia-Ukraine. There's got to be something over there. So speaking of, so Seth Greenberg, he's coming on 10:40, talking all things NCAA tournament. We're going to get some thoughts from him on the UH deal. But like I said, we're going to get in a little bit about this UH being a Jordan school. You couldn't ask for a better deal. Now, the only thing I'm a little bit worried about when it comes to U of H, obviously we all know Kelvin Sampson. Are you at all, and I know you're a Texas guy, so it's really not as big a deal for you, U of H, the whole coach in waiting thing. When has that ever worked, the coach in waiting? And the other part of it, too, is like, it's his son. I mean, his son's never coached anywhere else, right? It's just been under his dad. I mean, I guess this is kind of like the whole succession thing where, you know, I mean, the kid comes in and he becomes CEO after his dad leaves or something like that. And I don't have any experience other than just the TV show off the top of my head where I can use an example where something like that happened. But I'm just curious as to, you know, what if you're a U of H fan, look, we don't want to put the cart before the horse. You got a big game today against Miami. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. I was thoroughly impressed with what I saw from U of H against Auburn last week. That's the kind of performance where, you know, my knock against U of H coming into this tournament was, look, yes, you play great defense, and that's the one thing you can always hang your hat on when you are a Kelvin Sampson team. You know you're going to play defense. You know you're going to rebound. You know you're going to get after it. You know you're going to muck things up. But the bottom line is can you score? Can you put enough points on the board? That was going to be my concern. And then, of course, Marcus Sasser gets hurt, but Tremont Mark comes up big. Sheed comes up big. Obviously, Sasser does his thing, as he talked about, kind of blind. And the groin's nothing to play with either. He's had 4 days, 5 days, whatever it's been, to kind of rest that thing. I think they're going to take care of business today. I really do. I think getting over that hump, that was the kind of performance that you saw against Auburn last week. Because again, the thing about Auburn is, look, it's an SEC school, all right? So it's a battle-tested program. Bruce Pearl's as good a coach as there is in college basketball. I mean, you could argue he's one of the, you know, when we talk about tiers of coaches, you got your coaches that have won a title. Obviously, they're kind of in that, you know, like we kind of talk about when we talk about elite quarterbacks. So you got your elite tier of coaches. We saw it last night, which, by the way, real quick, Tom Izzo. My team's out, all right? And I forced myself to watch the tournament last night when my Jayhawks got bounced by Arkansas. But K-State goes out, plays an absolutely incredible game last night. My boy Marcus Noel, who's shorter than Sean Mapes, by the way, goes out. Not there's anything wrong with that. Plays
by a few inches. By a few inches.
Let's get that straight.
He's much shorter.
It's almost like your little brother, in a way.
Yes, he actually might be shorter than my little brother.
Might be short. So Marquise Noel, who's clearly shorter, who would be the shortest person in the Mapes family. Okay, if Marcus Noel was in the Mapes family, he would be the shortest person in the family. Now, that being said, he's by far the best ball handler. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what Papa Mapes can do with
that. Yeah, he might disagree, but I'll give it to Marquise Noel.
We'll give it to Marquise Noel. Best ball handler in the Mapes family. Goes off last night, 19 assists, 20 points, playing on a bum wheel for the entire second half. Defense, I'm not even going to say defense was optional in that ball game last night. There was no defense being played last night whatsoever on either side. So, you know, I mean, you give up 98 points. Clearly, it's not like Michigan State was playing any defense. They talked to Tom Izzo after the game, and he's like, well, they got some lucky shots tonight. We just didn't play our best. No, Tom, you played no defense, and it was a track meet for 45 minutes. That's exactly what it was. No, I can't stand when it's like, look, man, we get it. You lost. You're a little, and I guess that's the part of when you're talking to a coach immediately after a loss, especially a tough loss like that, where, you know, if you're a Michigan State fan, you think you probably should have won that ball game. I guess that's the reality, is when you talk to a team right after a loss, coach, player, whoever it might be, there's going to be some rough feelings immediately after the game. So you're going to get that kind of raw emotion where they're going to say something. I mean, I guess that's not the worst thing in the world to say, but I just thought, you know, from a coaching standpoint, come on, man, really, you're going to say it was a lucky game? I mean, they put up, again, 98 points is not luck. 98 points is they were just the better offensive team, and ultimately they made, you know, the best for a game that had zero defense last night. They did make the one defensive play of the entire game, and that was enough to win the ball game. All right, coming up next, U of H, Miami tonight. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you why there's a good omen for tonight's ball game if you're a U of H fan. He's Sean Mapes. I'm Fred Davis, filling in for your boy, Pauly G. This is the Pauly Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Welcome back in, ESPN 97.5. Sean, Planet of the Mapes, behind the glass on the 1-2s and 3s. And your boy Freddie D holding it down. Been a while, making my 2023 debut. You know, I thought about just sending out a fax and just saying I'm back, but I couldn't find a fax machine. So I just tweeted it out. Which, you know, Twitter's almost becoming like a fax machine since our boy Elon took it over. What a bleep show.
Yeah, it won't be long until we're like, remember Twitter?
Remember when we used to send out tweets? What is your social media channel of preference these days?
As little as possible.
Yeah, that's fair.
But Twitter is probably, I mean, it's so helpful for the show, to be honest.
It is. So, it's
unfortunately, that's the one I'm stuck with.
Okay. No, I mean, look, you'll get a few. I'm stuck on Instagram Reels. I'm going to be honest. I can't get enough of Instagram Reels. And, you know, I mean, look, they're following what we're doing. They know what we're saying. They know what we're thinking. All right. I mean, I got a bunch of just meathead posts, stuff that I share with my son. I mean, you know, I'm at that point now where, you know, my son's 15. And so, you know, we're having these, you know, man-to-man conversations. Do you remember, did your dad ever have, what was that conversation, that birds and the bees conversation like? Did he have that conversation with you?
I don't think I ever had like the sit down, like in a movie kind of conversation with it. It was just like, at one point he was like, you know how that works, right? And I was like, yeah, I do. I grew up with the internet, so yeah.
Fair.
Look. Yeah, I guess from a certain perspective.
But that's why you need to have that conversation. The internet is not the way you want to be taught about the birds and the bees, okay? Like that, the internet is the last thing, the last place where I want to defer to when it comes to schooling my children on the rights and wrongs and the ills and the rights of the world today. Okay. No, I've had to have that conversation with him. And I, you know, look, I'm a big believer in just be candid with your child. All right. I just tell him, like, look, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of, you know, focus on what you need to focus on right now. And the rest of that you can take care of later on. All right. Women are always going to be there. So handle your biz, stay in school, say your prayers, eat your green beans, and life will be just fine. So Seth Greenberg, 1040. 1041, talking all things college basketball. I want to get his thoughts on U of H. Would our boy Kelvin Sampson get a whole new level of respect if he can get a title at U of H? I think there's no question. He's definitely, like we said already, he's definitely in that tier of coaches just below coaches that have won a title. He's one of the best coaches that has never won an NCAA tournament title. And for what he's doing at U of H, and look, we know he's not going anywhere. He's going to ride this thing off into the sunset. He's in his, what, mid to late 60s, if I'm not mistaken, our boy Kelvin Sampson. Look, I've been a fan of Kelvin Sampson. And look, you know what Kelvin Sampson doesn't get enough respect for? All right, let's put some respect on our boy Kelvin Sampson's name. Kelvin Sampson was getting show cause penalties for texting too much before it was a thing. All right. Like my man was ahead of the curve. He saw, look, oh, these kids all got phones now. You guys are over here sending faxes and sending letters to the coaches. Let me just, you know, WYD. You know what I'm saying? Hey, just checking in. By the way, we're on TV tonight. Check us out, Coach TTYL. I mean, that's what our boy Kelvin Sampson was doing before anybody else. And my man fell on the sword, got hammered by the NCAA for being the, you know, he had the fastest thumbs in the West. Okay? Nobody, I mean, this guy was texting like a middle school girl before it was a thing to do. And then he's going to get a show cause penalty for that. Are you kidding me? Kelvin Sampson, I'll tell you what, when his bust goes in the Hall of Fame, we better say something about him being the innovator that he was when it came to texting in the NCAAs.
Yeah, because it was like the amount of text that he would send. And also, insane. Those limits got like taken away like 3 years later, too. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, this guy was come on, man. Give my man, look. I mean, look, we give guys credit for being offensive innovators, all right? We give, guys like, Norm Richardson, you know, 40 Minutes of Hell, which I guess we can't say anymore or whatever it is. You know, we give all these coaches props for being innovative and what have you. Where is Kelvin's love for being the texting savant that he is? And now it's just like you said, everybody does it. It's not even a big deal. If I ever get Kelvin on the show, I want to put his texting skills. I said, Kevin, coach, shoot out a text right now. Let me see. Sean, get the stopwatch out. Before we even say that, he's already texted 10 people. Done. Click. What? Oh! My man's already got 3 recruits on the line right now.
Got a verbal commit right now.
He's already got a verbal commit while we were hitting the stopwatch. All right, let's go to the phone line. 713-280-3776. 713-780-3776. That's the phone number if you would like to get involved with the program. And why wouldn't you? Okay? It's a Friday. All right? Most of you may or may not have a job. All right, you got nothing else to do. Here's what I want to know from you guys today. Let's rally all of our U of H Cougs. All right, because look, I have an indirect love for the Cougs. Now, look, you won't see me wear any Cougar gear. All right, especially now that I know they're going to the Big 12 next year. But I'm willing to say right now on this air. I mean, look, I've got a tattoo for crying out loud because I said years ago when I was on the other station that the Astros wouldn't lose 100 games. They did. And so I ended up getting a Astro logo tattooed on my arm as a result of it. I'm going to make a guarantee today, or I'm a bet, or whatever the hell you want to call it. And, of course, my daughter's a sophomore at U of H. If the Cougars win a national title, the next time I'm on air, I will wear, after they win, of course, I will wear a U of H basketball shirt. They are a Jordan school, and that's the other caveat as to why I will wear that shirt.
I thought you were setting up for a tattoo, another tattoo.
No, I can't. I can't do that. Would that be too much? I don't even have a Jayhawk tattoo.
If U of H wins the title,
yeah,
and after your daughter graduates from U of H, then you'll get a U of H tattoo. Because you can't be like, yeah, I made a radio bet, and my daughter went there at the time, but then, you know, transferred, had some credit stuff, went to a different school.
Now, Miriam will graduate. She better, at least. I'll tell you what, as long as she's not driving anywhere, my God. It's another story for another show. Let's go out to our boy Dre on 290. What's up, Dre?
What's up, Brady D and Sean, Planet of the Mates? What a great one. Hey, man, just great to hear you on the radio again. And just wanted to reminisce about an old show you did with old Henry Thomas and say some of the best motels around the city of Houston, and I gotta nominate the Lisa Motel on Hempstead Highway out there on 290.
That is a true HD show listener right there. Yes, we used to do a segment called Palace Intails, and really you can just fill in any seedy motel or hourly motel. I don't want to say seedy. That's inappropriate, okay? There's plenty of fine hourly establishments across this great city of ours. All right. So I don't want to besmirch any of the, the Scott's Inn. There's another one there off of Mangum. And don't ask me why I know all these. I'm a different person, Planet of the Mapes. I'm a different person. Dre, how are you doing, man? How are things on 290?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm out here rolling on the south side. Just made a delivery. I'm a truck driver, of course. Headed back for a second load. But, man, I just trying to get the business started, man, and trying to keep it working and pop it up for a Friday, trying to get the tunes going. And hopefully Coach Sampson stays technologically advanced ahead of the other coaches in the game.
Right.
Who knows what he's doing now, though? I mean, what can he possibly be doing to be technologically ahead of the game right now? That's my biggest question. Appreciate your time, man. I got to get off the phone. But
do your thing.
Good to hear you, mate.
Hey, I appreciate you, Dre, and safe driving out there. What can he do? AI machine learning. That's what he's going to do. Okay. That's going to be the next frontier. All right. AI machine learning.
He has ChatGPT he's texting recruits.
Well, he's got them. That's how he's doing the interviews. Okay. He's got ChatGPT running his offense, setting up offensive game plans is what he's doing. That's how it's going to work. That's how you got to stay ahead of the curve, baby. That's how you got to stay
he's
ahead of the curve.
Typing in how to.
That's it. That's
stop it. Miami's offense.
That's right. What do we need to do in transition? That's the real question. No. Look, I like their chances. Now, UT is also playing tonight, and off top, and I've been so knee deep in the U of H coverage. UT's playing
Xavier. Sean Miller, another guy who got popped.
Sean Miller. Now let's take a look at Sean Miller, who we've got on. You know, look, Kelvin didn't know what he didn't know at that time. All right, like Kelvin didn't know. Hey, I don't know that I shouldn't be sending 1,000 texts a night to 800 recruits. Okay, like I wasn't aware that that was a thing. Sean Miller, like, is on the phone saying, hey, we're going to pay this dude this, or come on, what do you mean we can't give him this, or what do you mean I can't give him that? Of course we're going to pay him this. Like, there's a big difference in not knowing what you can do because it's still a new, relatively new, and dare I mean, we're dating ourselves when we say texting was a new technology, but it was kind of a new phenomenon. It was a new edge at the time to where, like, you know you can't give kids bags of money, okay?
At the time. Now you can.
Oh, it's all about the bag.
But, you know, 5 years ago, absolutely.
5 years ago.
You could not pay DeAndre Ayton a cent if you're Sean Miller.
Frowned upon. Now you just say, hey, look, it's because he's representing, you know, Big Daddy Ford. And you know, my man's driving an Expedition and has $1.5 million in the bank. And, you know, that's the world we live in now. But it was long overdue. This has been a thing where it should have been done a long time ago. College kids getting paid. Now, look, I'm a little bit leery of the transfer portal because I think it set a bad precedent, because I think now kids are just like, well, if I don't get to play, I'm going to go ahead and bounce, and then who knows, you're going to end up somewhere else. But that's another story for another day. All right, look, we got a lot to get to. We've got we're going to put a bow on the college talk before we get to our boy Seth Greenberg. We got UT playing tonight as well. They're playing Xavier. What would it mean for U of H to win a national championship? I've got my concerns, but I'm kind of curious as to what the reaction would be here in the city if U of H won a title. I don't know that it would be as celebratory as people think. All right. It's certainly not going to be on the level of an Astros World Series. I think we can all agree on that, which begs the question, which championship in the city of Houston would you get the most crunk for? And don't sleep on the dash. He's Sean Planet of the Mapes. I'm Fred Davis. This is us filling in for Sean Paul Gallant.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Back in ESPN 97.5. Your boy Freddie D sitting in for Paulie G. We don't know where he's at. We don't know what he's doing. We don't know why he took the day off today. It's not to watch a Syracuse Orangeman. I can tell you that much. Man, Jim Boeheim. I will forever despise Syracuse, especially since they dispatched my Jayhawks back in 2003. But can you, Jim Boeheim? I mean, my man was there for 47 years. Doesn't he at least get a little bit better of a send off than, hey, I just got knocked out of the ACC tournament and I'm on the dais and hey, I'm out. It's been real. I know my name's on the court, but you know, enough's enough. I'll see you when I see you. And then the school's like, yeah, we went ahead and kicked him out. Whatever. What a weird way to end things. I didn't get it. Is it just me or does Rodney Terry look like a 90s R&B singer?
He gets the Gus Fring comparison.
You know, I keep hearing that, and I don't know. I didn't get that. I guess if he takes the glasses, but the glasses are, look, I get a, you know, I'm waiting for him to start, I'm waiting for him to take his shirt off and start talking about how he's going to rub somebody down with those glasses and just kind of the vibes is what I get from Rodney Terry. I get 90s R&B singer when I see Rodney Terry. So
yeah, he could be, well, if he comes out tonight in like a button, completely unbuttoned white shirt.
I'm
and all the assistant coaches are behind him wearing the same exact thing.
No, I want to see him come out in some leather pants, black Timbos, and a black wife beater is what I want to see him. And then I want to see them all kind of like in you know, kind of in sync, all doing the same thing as they come out, kind of like trudging or whatever. Kind of like a Black Street, and you know, maybe the AD is like the Dr. Dre part of it, and you know, something like that. Am I dating myself a little bit? Whatever. Who knows? They're gonna have their hands full tonight. By the way, who knew Marcus Carr had been in college for like a decade? COVID has, I mean, look, I get COVID has upended the world, but I didn't realize that we had doctors coming out of college basketball.
There's someone on Texas's team that's going to come back for his, like, sixth or seventh year.
Dude, I don't even know anymore. I mean, look, I get it. If you can do it, go for it.
I disagree. At a certain point,
it's time to go, right?
Get on with your life, dude.
It's time to leave.
I completely understand, like, this is probably, like, the last chance to play basketball in America that people are going to care about.
Meaningful games that, you know, don't resemble a bomb shelter.
But at the same time, like, these guys are... I mean, they're like 25 years old in college.
Dude, it's next level. It really, truly. I mean, you know, Armando Bacot is coming back for his fifth year. Jalen Wilson from KU could have come back for another year, but it's like, all right, bro, you've already tried. I mean, you've already gone to the NBA Combine twice. Just go. There's nothing left for you to do. You choked against Arkansas in the second half. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm still mad. I hope U of H wins tonight. Look, 713-780-3776. What is everybody doing between now and 6:15? All right? This is the part of college basketball. And look, U of H fans, I get it. You guys are still relatively new to this phenomenon of being players in the NCAA tournament year after year. And I'm happy for you. It's a good place to be. What are you guys doing? It's a Friday. Little muggy outside, all right? And so, you know, and you got to be careful if you're going to go ahead and do some day drinking on a Friday prior to the game, because you don't want to get too lit to where by the time the game rolls around, you get tired, all right? So you got to kind of slow play it. Do you work until 2 or 3? And then for all my folks that aren't drinking out there, God bless you guys as well, you're just kicking back, anxiously waiting for your U of H Cougars to get do the damn thing today. And then, of course, for everybody that's over in Kansas City, God bless. Shout out to my man Herman. He made the trip to go see his Cougs play over at T-Mobile Center. So, again, it's only an 11-hour drive, whatever it is, a couple-hour flight from here to good old KCI. So where's my U of H folks? How are you, how are you pre-gaming? How are you planning? What is your little, does anybody have any superstitions that they're going to do for the game today? I want to hear it. And by the way, this is why I feel like y'all are in a good place. You're getting the CBS treatment. Okay? That's how I know that U of H is in a good place today. Because you're getting the CBS treatment. You're not on TBS. You're not on True TV. You're not on Spike. You're not on whatever other channel that nobody knows about. Okay? Is Spike still a thing? I don't know.
I don't think it is.
That's where the first four plays. You know? You're getting... I don't need to download FUBU for 7 days to watch my Cougs tonight. All right? How good I feel about my Cougs tonight.
Do you think Jim Nance was like had to have a very serious phone call with someone being like, listen...
Hey, friends.
If my Houston Cougars are not on the gods CBS.
You know what? Look, you might. Because here's the funny thing. Alabama is actually on TBS, and Alabama right now is everybody's odds in favorite.
And they're the number one overall seed.
And they are the number one overall seed. Now, they do have this pesky, you know, murder thing going on around the program.
First I'm hearing about that. What?
I know, right? Look, when you've got Saban and the head coach beefing, I mean, what more do you want? okay? What more do you want? No, I think the fact that Jim Nantz, and look, I think you make a great point. Look, Nantz is, I mean, Nantz is the biggest name in broadcasting today, all right? And look, we can debate it. I'm not going to debate whether or not he's the best, but when it comes to just pound for pound.
Like play-by-play guys, he is number one.
Dude, Jim Nantz is the guy, okay? And I don't care who it is. I mean, look, no matter what station, no matter what sport, Jim Nantz is that dude, all right? Whether you like him or not. And guess what? He's a coug. If Jim Nantz says, I want my boys on at 6:50, and he's calling the game, isn't he? Isn't he calling UMH?
Yeah, he's calling that region.
Bro, you're not putting Jim Nantz on TBS. Jim Nantz isn't getting TBS treatment.
And that just adds to the, like, storybook nature of this UMH season of how insane of a championship this would be. It's not only you're hosting the Final Four.
Yeah.
You also have Jim Nantz, the most legendary college basketball play-by-play guy of maybe all time, I'll at least say of the last 20 years. And then he is an alum of your school.
Yeah.
In his last, calling his last Final Four, and you could be, you're a number one seed. You're one of the favorites.
This is, look, you're a number one seed. You're definitely in the conversation to win this entire thing, because when I look at the rest of the teams that are left in this tournament, this isn't like a few years ago where I look at a team like a Baylor who was just physically men among boys, right? I mean, that team was just different. The difference with this team is that they're long, they're athletic, and they do have guys that can score. Now, the question is, I'm a little nervous about the consistency of scoring outside of Marcus Sasser. I don't know that our boy Tremont Marcus has got another 26-point game in him, especially when you consider that he's a 10-point-a-game scorer routinely. All right, but you know, Sheed's got to play well. That's my only concern. You know, again, it reared its ugly head last year in the Elite Eight when they went 0-for against Villanova and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Again, this is a team that you know, as long as Sasser and Sheed are relatively healthy, all right, you're going to get chances on defense. And again, there's just something to be said for the way they played in that second half against Auburn. Those are the kind of moments that can absolutely turn a team's fortunes around, because again, maybe that's a game that you lose in previous years, whereas, okay, we came back, we were down 10, and did something that they'd really never done and put on an offensive show the way they did and just dominated doing it. Because the one thing we do know about U of H, we know they're going to play good defense. We know they're going to rebound. Now it's just a matter of, okay, can you score in transition? Can you put buckets in? And if you do that, look, 9 times out of 10, good things happen. All right, but you got to start knocking down some threes, because we saw last night with the Arkansas game is that when you don't hit threes, it's a death knell. All right, coming up next, you've heard enough out of me when it comes to college basketball. Let's talk to somebody that's a lot more professional and a lot more in the know. Seth Greenberg from ESPN joins us, talking all things U of H, talking all things NCAA tournament. Don't go anywhere. This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Welcome back in, ESPN 97.5. Let's go out to the ESPN listener line. Welcome to the program. ESPN analyst and longtime coach, Seth Greenberg. Coach, let's get right to it. Appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you're a busy man. U of H, big game tonight against a very tough and talented and well-coached Miami team, but the one thing we do know about U of H, they play very good defense. My only question is, can they score enough to get the job done? And do we think what we saw in that second half against Auburn last week is going to be more indicative of the U of H we're going to see moving forward?
Yeah, that second half against Auburn was the best I've seen them play all season. I thought they were absolutely dominating, obviously, defensively, offensively on the glass. Tremont Mark giving them great minutes when Sasser went out. This game's going to come down to, you know, can Miami rebound the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Which Miami, Norchad Amir is a legitimate rebounder. Because, you know, here's a Houston team that rebounds 37% of their misses. So can Miami rebound the ball? Can Miami take care of the ball with their backcourt against the Houston defense? I think they can in terms of that. But I mean, you're talking about a veteran backcourt. Isaiah Wong, Uga Poplar, and Nigel Pack, that's a pretty good backcourt. But I think that the way they played the other night, the Houston backcourt reminds me a lot of that Baylor backcourt that won a national championship.
No, we just talked about that in the previous segment, because that was a backcourt that was long, that was athletic, and they got after you. And like you said, you're seeing a lot of that out of U of H. You got two very good coaches, too, in Kelvin Sampson and Jim Larrañaga. They're kind of in that group of coach, that tier just below championship-winning coaches, where, you know, we all know in the pantheon of great coaches, they're in that level, but they just haven't gotten maybe the respect they deserve because of no title. What would a title mean for either Larrañaga or a Kelvin Sampson?
It's just a cherry on the top of the sundae. I mean, look, both of them are Hall of Fame coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are great leaders. Both of them are great mentors. Both of them have impacted hundreds of lives. It's really just, you know, it's the final, you know, award or final accomplishment. Doesn't change my opinion of them. I coached against both of them and have so much respect for both of them, and I think they're so good for the young people that play for them. But yeah, it's just one last final accomplishment that kind of is the exclamation point on a Hall of Fame career.
No question about it. We're talking to Seth Greenberg, ESPN, joining us here on the Paul Gallant Show. Let's go over to the Texas Xavier game tonight. Look, we know Texas is long. We know they're athletic, and they've played really good basketball, especially since running through the Big 12 tournament the way they have. Xavier, very well coached. What gives tonight?
Yeah, it's Xavier offense versus the Texas defense. Not saying Texas's offense isn't good. I think it's, you know, you got to do certain things. You know, Nungy's a matchup problem because he steps away, but I think that the Sioux, the way he's playing, should be fine. I think Colby Jones is a tough matchup just overall. I'm looking forward to the Colby Jones Timmy Allen matchup as one to watch. And then in the backcourt, Sully Boom and either Marcus Garth or Hunter. I think it's going to be a game of pace, even though I think Texas wants a run. The pace and flow that Xavier plays with is pretty high level. Now, Xavier did at the end of that Kennesaw State game, the light bulb went on defensively. That's been the battle Sean Miller's had all season long. Can they defend consistently? And I think that's what the game's going to come down to. It's going to come down to, can Xavier, because we know Texas is going to defend.
Yeah.
Can Xavier defend, and can Disu continue to play the way he's played?
Are you surprised Rodney Terry hasn't been given that full-time job yet?
I am and I'm not. I mean, Del Conte has his own agenda probably.
Yeah.
But I'm just so happy for Rodney and Bob and the whole staff and the job they've done. They've got a great culture there. And that started with Chris Beard, so you got to give credit to Chris Beard. But they've got six seniors, and those six seniors are tremendously focused. They walk the court before practice and talk and say the word together, arms locked, and they mean it. So Rodney being able to maintain the culture and then lead and then get those guys to buy in and believe in him, it's so well earned. And he's a great dude. I mean, let's face it, Rodney Perry, you can't find anyone that would say anything negative about him.
Well, and look, I guess that's my thing, right? Is that now, you know, look, I get it. It's always been the chic thing, and I don't care what sport it is to go grab the hot coach. But if we've learned anything, and you know, I'm gonna go all the way back to Roy Williams being an assistant in North Carolina, and we saw obviously what he did at KU and beyond. But look at what Jerome Tang has done over at K-State with a team that he pretty much just made up on the fly. I mean, isn't there something to be said for an assistant coach who spent a bulk of his years at a high-level program and then goes on to, like, a Jerome Tang and has had success immediately? I mean, wouldn't you see that a Rodney Terry is going to be able to kind of sort of do that? And we've seen it on the fly in a very, you know, tumultuous situation at UT.
Well, he did a good job at Fresno. He did a good job at UTEP. You know, I don't like to generalize. Well, Jerome Tang did well, so everyone's going to do well. Jerome Tang's just a talented dude.
Yeah.
But so is Rodney Terry. And Rodney Terry's proven he can do it. It's not, you know, he's a test drive in Texas. He didn't test drive Fresno, and he didn't test drive UTEP.
Yeah.
He's been in that leadership situation, and he's been able to recruit. He's also been able to lead and mentor. And he's proven that. Plus, he's got a terrific staff, and he loves the university and has great passion for it. So, yeah, I would love to see it happen because I have a lot of admiration and respect for Rodney.
All right, we'll start winding this thing down. I know you got to run. Alabama, look, I mean, you couldn't – I mean, this team has been as maligned off the court for as good as they've been on the court. How impressed are you with the focus that Nate Oates has been able to turn to his team on? And then, of course, just kind of what they're looking at as far as making a run over these next couple weeks.
Yeah, they're a team that really is focused and so talented. They can beat in the half court. They beat in transition. They beat in – on the glass, they beat you from the three, they beat you off the bounce, they beat you with their spread, then they beat you defensively by, you know, rebounding the ball, by contesting you and running you off the three, by protecting the front of the rim. And they've got great depth. I joke and call them Noah's Ark. They get to everything. They're going to be a hard out with everything that's gone on. They've handled it pretty well.
All right, last thing, and this is more of a personal question, given the fact that I'm a Jayhawk and I'm still stinging from last week's loss. I look, no offense to Norm Roberts, but I think if Bill Self is in that chair, we're playing UConn last night. For a guy that's, you know, having that health scare, and look, the heart's nothing to play with, from all accounts, he's going to be back next year. He's going to be okay, but... You know, what does this mean for a Jayhawk program now that, you know, with everything that's kind of gone on the last couple of years, just from, you know, the external stuff, now you got Bill Self, which maybe the health issue, and now you've got some serious transfer portal issues, or not issues per se, but you got half the team is left for the transfer portal, it seems like. Where's KU at going into next year?
They're fine. Bill Self is bionic now. Kansas is always going to have players. Kansas is always going to figure out a system that fits their players. And Kansas is always going to win. Just the way it is.
Well, I tell you what, if Seth Greenberg says it, then you know what? I'm feeling okay too. Real quick, who do you got? Who do you like in the? Who do you like finishing this whole thing off in the next couple weeks? Who do you got?
I have Alabama.
Alabama. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Coach Greenberg, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Seth Greenberg. I tell you what, man. He's got me feeling good about KU again. Bionic.
I know, and dropping the, they'll be fine. There you go. Kansas.
Didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a beat.
I believe them, too. They're Kansas.
The way he said it. I mean, come on. He does like Alabama, though. And not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, look, it's not an outlandish take. I mean, Alabama has looked really, really good. And like you said, with all the things they've had going on, even though I know you just found out about it, very impressive, very impressive. And you know, you got probably a top five pick in Brandon Miller. And the fact that, you know, they've had everything going on outside off the court and have still managed to not miss a beat. And that's what's been, you know, and look, you hate to use that as an example of what you're impressed by, but that's kind of a big deal in today's 24-hour news cycle, because the story hasn't gone away.
It is. Obviously, they're very different situations, but the off-the-court kind of distraction and controversy that's surrounded both Alabama and Texas is something that you are surprised when a team full – I mean, I know Coach Greenberg said that there's six seniors on Texas's team, but that there's still – we're talking about 24-year-old now, like 25-year-olds, these seniors. But if those guys just kind of packed it in after Coach Beard left, or after what happened at Alabama happened, and you know, you have players getting or a player getting arrested, another one implicated, if their season just went down the tubes, we'd all completely understand it.
Totally.
And
get
the fact that both these teams recovered, they're in the Sweet 16. That's incredible. And for Alabama, I mean, you look ahead in their bracket. It's pretty – they have a Final Four trip that's looks pretty manageable for them. They have the San Diego State.
Don't sleep on the Aztecs, man. Are you surprised
Steve
that
Fisher
they haven't been canceled
out?
Yet, by the way? Are you surprised that no one – I mean, there's got to be some Aztecs around somewhere that are not happy with the San Diego State name.
Really? Are they like Florida State where they have like –
You know what? That's a great point. If you're an Aztec, 713-780-3776. In fact, real quick story. My 93-year-old grandfather, who's still...
An Aztec?
I wish.
Grandpa Montezuma?
Yeah. I really wish. Tell you what. You ever had Montezuma's Gold? I suggest you don't. Okay? I suggest... One of the worst nights of my life was because of Montezuma Gold. And I'm just going to leave it at that. All right. I'm just going to, I've had a drink in almost 7 years, and I had Montezuma's Gold from nearly 30 years ago, still to this day, gives me the shivers, okay? we digress.
I've heard of his revenge.
I don't know
what his gold is.
Tell you what, talk about his revenge. He had revenge on my head for the next 3 days after that. Good night. But no, real quick, so my 93-year-old grandpa, who still drives, still runs every day, all right, still just getting after it. Hell, he's married, so God, you know, you fill in the blanks. Met a Aztec person in the small Kansas town of Rossville. My man was part Aztec. So let me see if I'm gonna see if we can get him on the show.
Your grandpa or the guy your grandpa met?
Well, no, I'm gonna reach, get the guy that's part
the
Aztec.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't need to talk to Jerry. We don't need to talk. There's really nothing. I don't know he's got any hot takes. But we definitely want to get the Aztec on the show. 1 hour in the books, huh? How about that? 1 hour in the books. You know, they asked me if Joe George said, hey, do you need a co-host? And I said, look, if Planet of the Mapes is there, that's all we need. That's all we need. He's Sean. I'm Fred. This is ESPN 975. Coming up next, we've got a lot more to get into, okay? We're going to put a bow on the college basketball talk. We'll make some picks, okay? We'll make picks for the rest of the weekend. We will make our final four picks next hour, okay? We're going to talk to Aaron Wilson, NFL insider, about what's going on with this Baltimore Ravens situation. We're going to ask him, you know, what he's hearing the Texans might do with that number two pick, all right? And then we're going to get into where is John Wick in the pantheon of all-time action movie franchises? And where would you put John Wick as just an action hero overall, okay? I'll tell you this. He's no John Matrix. All right? Let's get that straight right now. Who's John Matrix? Glad you asked. We'll tell you on the other side. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.